Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today we're back in the Grey Lodge, back with more Twin Peaks, Season 2, Episode 18, On the Wings of Love. And today we're unpacking a massive part of the mystery that is Twin Peaks. We're going to explore Owl Cave. That's right. The owls are not what they seem, but they also have a cave. And we're going to learn more about what these tattoo symbols mean. We're going to learn, we're going to talk about hidden petroglyph carvings, inversion, opposing polarity talk, Buddhist karma. Windham Earle's connections to Project Bluebeam are revealed. Project Blue Book, excuse me. Two different things completely. Maybe. Gordon Cole talking about the Red Room, right? He kind of does. And it's got connections that I will provide of another Sherilyn Fenn movie, Audrey. Directed by Jennifer Lynch, David Lynch's daughter. So is it a coincidence? Like Cooper tells us, there's no such thing. So without further ado, let's get into it. Miss Jones, if you recall at the end of the last episode, seductively slid into Truman's bed. And now her big plan is revealed as she wakes up Truman very seductively and then wraps piano wire around his neck and attempts to kill him. But he gets free, knocks her out cold. Truman's not going out like that. We all know that. And I'm not sure why they laid in this whole seductive element with her stripping down and getting into bed with him. The filming of it makes it appear like she was trying to evoke the spirit of Josie for Truman, I guess. I don't know. One of the things that people don't love the second half of season two, and I think that's one of the reasons why. There's lots of stuff that it gets introduced, and you're like, why are we doing that, you know? Meanwhile, Audrey, she's still flirting with Jack. She brings room service to him, and he's like, don't talk about it, be about it, you know? Because she's talking all reckless about how she'll bring any kind of service that he wants to the room. So he invites her on his private jet for a little sunset flight. Very romantic. So Truman, he locks up Miss Jones. And the theory that they come up with is that Mr. Eckhart wanted Miss Jones to kill Truman because he was jealous because Josie was sleeping with Truman. All right. And we're still at the sheriff's department. Back in Truman's office, Dr. Hayward gives Truman the next chess move that Windham Earle gave to Donna. Remember last episode? They ponder over the delivery of this bonsai tree that mysteriously showed up from Josie that's on Truman's desk. And then we get it. We get the man himself. Gordon Cole shows up to Twin Peaks yet again. And he's here to hand Cooper a classified file about Windham Earle. Little do they know, Windham Earle is actually eavesdropping through that bonsai tree. He set that all up, and he's listening to the conversation. And the conversation, we hear that the one-armed man, Mike, remember him? He was on a drug, haloperidol, and that same drug Windham Earle was on, the schizophrenia drug. Multiple personalities, dissociative identity disorders, alter, whatever you want to look at it, you know? And, you know, the whole Twin Peaks thing has a lot to do with doppelgangers and stuff like that, so not too far-fetched. We find out at this point that Windham Earle was also a part of Project Blue Book, just like Major Briggs, researching UFOs. So Windham Earle is hip to a lot of this paranormal stuff going on in Twin Peaks. Maybe that's why he's here. Then Gordon Cole, he formally reinstates Cooper to the FBI. Thank goodness. I can't go another episode with Cooper and Flannel. We need the suit, you know? And it's kind of uneventful, to be honest, after the whole... And I think, again, part of the reason people don't like the end of season two here, the second half. Because it was this whole ordeal after Laura died where it was like, oh, Cooper's going to get kicked out of the FBI. He's going to get in trouble. And then it's like, not really. Whatever. So Windham Earle, he's got this deck of cards. And, of course, he's showing Leo what his plans are. it's all the queens from the deck of cards, and he's got photos of Shelley, Audrey, and Donna on the queens with Dale Cooper as the king. And for the last queen, he pulls out dramatically the queen of hearts, which is faceless. And he says that the winner of Miss Twin Peaks gets to be the royal execution. So he's doing some metaphorical symbolism here. Leo, he's, of course, watching, and he sees the card, the queen card with Shelley on it, and it triggers something. He sort of wakes up from his stupor, I guess, because he's been in this weird stupor since he got into Wyndham Earl's cabin. It's almost like he's drugging him, although I don't recall seeing that anywhere, but that's what it seems like. But at this point, it is... All of this is reminiscent of, if you remember way back in, I think it was the pilot or episode one, where Cooper talks about who killed JFK. We talked about James Shelby Downard, and we talked about the King Kill 33 ritual. It's a ritualistic ceremony, a public sacrifice, and the public has to be a part of it. They have to witness the ritual, and that's all I can think of when I watch this scene. You know, I mean, he puts Dale Cooper as the king, and he's got to die. The king has to die. And Wyndham Earl even says Cooper gets to watch. So I'm not really sure at this point. You think, well, is he trying to kill one of the females? Is he trying to kill Cooper? Is he trying to kill all of them? It's hard to tell. So Donna, she follows her mom to the Great Northern and sees her talking to Ben Horn. And she asks Audrey if she knows why on earth her mom is talking to Audrey's dad. And Audrey's like, I don't know. Maybe it's to help with the Stop Ghostwood campaign. We also see Mike is done with the room. Remember him and Nadine checked in, and now they're checking back out. And the front desk guy says, how was the room? And Mike says, unbelievable. And Nadine's licking a lollipop. She turned Mike out. Straight up. So, meanwhile, Ben and Donna... Donna's mother, sorry. Ben Horn and Donna's mother, I have her name, Eileen. So Ben and Eileen are in Ben's office, and they're talking about these letters that she's had for 20 years. Ben, he's apologizing to her, and he's trying to make up for something. And he talks like they used to be lovers and starts kissing on her, but she forces him to stop. Well, you already know where this could be going. Audrey, she's got that little secret cove, and she's watching, her and Donna are watching this whole thing go down, and they're spying through the secret room. They hear Eileen tell Ben how he must stay away from her. Who's her? Donna's like, I'm gonna find out what's going on here. Cooper, back to Cooper. He takes Gordon Cole to the Double R Diner. Gordon Cole is smitten by Shelley. You know, he's in shock because he can hear her perfectly. So he's falling hard. Because remember, Gordon Cole, he can't hear anybody. He makes everybody scream because he's deaf, right? Ish. But he can hear Shelley just fine for whatever reason. And Gordon Cole tells Cooper that Shelley reminds him of the statue without any arms, the Venus de Milo. Now, this was very intriguing to hear because this statue of the Venus de Milo is also in the Red Room, if you recall. I'd have to go through my notes and the images. I don't remember because you get different visitations to the Red Room throughout the series, and I want to say that the Venus de Milo has already been shown to us. So, or it's a plot spoiler, and guess what? You're going back to the Red Room in season 3, and you see it then, maybe. I don't know. But either way, the Venus de Milo is mentioned, and it should be noted that David Lynch's daughter, Jennifer Lynch, just a couple years after Twin Peaks, filmed a movie called Boxing Helena. And in that movie, it stars Audrey, Sherilyn Fenn. And at the very beginning of the film, she's staring at a statue of Venus de Milo. More to come on that. I don't know how far we need to unpack that. What's the meaning here? But there's something here, right? I noticed when I watched Boxing Helena, I saw the Venus de Milo. I thought, wow, that's bizarre. That was in the Red Room. And now on this sort of fourth viewing of Twin Peaks, you hear David Lynch mention it as Gordon Cole, and I thought, oh, wow, because I didn't catch that the first few times. So more to come on that. Cooper is, they're at the double R, right? And Cooper's drawing a combination of the symbols that Briggs and the Log Lady have tattooed on them. Well, I say tattooed, they're marks left behind from the aliens or whatever. And Truman, and then Annie comes, the server. Remember, Cooper and Annie have this weird sort of attraction. And Truman, he the student becomes the master. He realizes that Cooper's in love with Annie. And he tells him about it, much how Cooper picked up that Truman was in love with Josie, right? Things come full circle. So Annie, she is talking to Cooper, and she says, look, the design on that napkin you're drawing looks like a symbol that I've seen at Owl Cave. And, you know, Annie essentially guides Cooper to Owl Cave. She's the guiding feminine goddess, I would say, the Athena, the wisdom, leading him to unravel the mystery of Twin Peaks, which we'll come back to at the end of the episode. In this scene, I want you to also notice that Annie says she feels very disoriented here in Twin Peaks. Something weird is definitely happening there with Annie, all right? James, he's back. He's sending postcards from San Francisco to Donna. He's telling her how he's on his way to Mexico. Donna asks her dad. She's like, hey, Dr. Hayward, hey, Dad, how does Mom know Ben Horn? And Dr. Hayward dismisses it. And she's pushing for an answer. And Dr. Hayward's reluctantly hiding this truth. Dr. Hayward knows something is up here. He's gaslighting her. And then on cue, after Dr. Hayward's like, no, there's nothing there. I don't know. Whatever, whatever. The doorbell rings. Donna answers it. It's a dozen red roses being delivered for Eileen, for Mrs. Hayward. And Donna looks up at her dad and she's like, it's a dozen roses with no card for Mom. What's up now? Okay, now we're at the Twin Peaks Library. A new setting, a new scene. And Wyndham Earl is dressed up as a professor of poetry. Audrey's in there researching civil disobedience, and Wyndham Earl, of course, approaches and chats her up, and she asks him if he could help with this mysterious poem that someone sent her, and she shows him the poem that, of course, Wyndham Earl actually sent her, and of course, he knows the poem. He's like, oh, that's Shelley, and he tells Audrey that she looks like a queen. Now, this is yet another, you know, this is the reference to Percy Shelley that we talked about recently. I think it was last episode even. The poem is called Love Philosophy from 1819. We talked about it. Wikipedia says, the main theme is the relationship between the connection that exists for things in the natural world and the poet's desire to be connected to his object of affection. Shelley asks how there can be, talking about Percy Shelley here, not to be confused with double R Shelley, Shelley asks how there can be unity in nature, but a lack of union in human relationships. The poetic devices Shelley uses in the poem include personification. Fountains mingle with the river, winds of heaven mix forever with the sweet emotion, so on and so on. As well as metaphor and the rhetorical question, if thou kiss not me. When I hear that, I think, well, when we're talking about unity in nature, it sounds a lot like opposing polarities coming together, right? And the Tantra traditions, they believe in Shakti and Shiva locked in sexual union, creating the world that we live in. And we're going to find out that Wyndham Earl is very interested in these sort of opposing polarities of black and white, Black Lodge, White Lodge. And of course, you know, Percy Shelley seems to come up an awful lot in Twin Peaks. We talked about the connection to Frankenstein and all that earlier. Also, I should note that Vinny Gadara from 12 Rainbow Trout on Instagram, he's a Twin Peaks guy. He deep dive into this specific book that Audrey is reading. It's called On Politics and Education by John Locke. He was an English philosopher, physician, and he was one of the philosophers that was responsible for crafting the ideas behind the U.S. Constitution. They call him the father of liberalism, all right? Okay, so meanwhile, Annie and Shelley, they're chatting it up. Annie's kind of being a bitch to Shelley. But nonetheless, And he's asking what Dale Cooper's status is. And Shelly's like, oh, you interested? And Annie's like, no, I'm not. Like, it's total goof. So things are getting interesting now. With Cooper, Truman, Andy, I think Hawk too, they're all headed to the Owl Cave. They're going to spelunk in there. And they're at the sheriff's department getting ready. Andy's impressing Lucy with his embracing of the danger of spelunking. Lucy, she makes him promise that he'll be careful. And you see, this is what Dick Tremaine doesn't offer Lucy, you know. He's working in the men's fashion department, but Andy's out there getting real, you know, doing some real manly stuff. She works with cops all day. She wants a man who likes a little bit of danger. That's why Andy and Lucy, they're good for each other. Dick Tremaine, sorry, buddy, you ain't got it. Andy's got it. So Ben is going to promote Audrey at this point. And he admits to her how hasn't been a good father. He's still chomping on his carrot sticks and whatnot. And about how he's now a changed man. And he's like, you know, I used to be this sleazy, rapacious heel. And I'm changing my ways. And interestingly enough, he cites the murder of Laura Palmer as the catalyst for seeing the error in his ways. She's really enamored by it, right? She wants this sort of, you know, affection from daddy. So, you know, we're all hoping he doesn't let her down. And what he's doing is he's setting her up. He's setting Audrey up to go out to Seattle to talk with some environmentalists about the pine weasel. And she starts to kind of balk because Ben's like, I need you to leave now. But remember, she's got plans with Jack. She wants to fly into the sunset. And interestingly enough, Ben Horn uses an example of the Kennedy brothers to try to inspire Audrey to commit to this, right? And it works. And Jack Wheeler, he shows up just in time to see Audrey reluctantly accept this job offer. And, you know, Audrey's going to pursue Ben's will. And he tells Ben, and so Audrey takes off. And Jack tells Ben, he's like, look, I'm in love with your daughter. Which Ben, you know, he takes seemingly okay. So maybe he is a changed man. He even offers Jack a carrot. Maybe he's a changed man. We don't know. We also get a rare appearance of Johnny, Ben Horn's son. Johnny's out there playing around. Okay, so finally, we get to the Owl Cave. Cooper, Truman, Hawk, Andy, they're at the Owl Cave. They chose to do it at night. Not sure why. But the Owl Cave is a major key of the mystery of Twin Peaks. And what it means is it will suggest to us there is a phenomenon that's local to that area that goes back hundreds of years. And they go in there, they find a symbol on the wall of the cave, a petroglyph, if you will, and they end up triggering the sequence, and something both wonderful and strange happens. I'm going to play a clip for you.
There it is. Bind into a larger whole. But for what purpose?
I don't know. Beats me.
The tattoos are the question. This must be the answer.
Thank you.
coincidence and fate figure largely in our lives. It appears to be a petroglyph.
Harry, I have no idea where this will lead us, but I have a definite feeling it will be a place both wonderful and strange.
Okay, so they went into the alcove. They find the symbol that the tattoos together that Annie said was the symbol of the alcove. Two symbols combine to make a larger hole symbol, and you'll notice this one has a flame on the top of it, all right? The flame is all throughout Twin Peaks, right? Cooper says, tattoos are the question, this must be the answer. And later on in this episode, he'll end up dictating to Diane about how he got to Owl Cave because a couple of tattoos, Briggs and the Log Lady, which you recall were applied from their abductions, it seems. So they go in there, they see the petroglyph, an owl gets triggered by all this, flies over their heads, and he strikes at it with an axe, pickaxe, and the pickaxe gets stuck in the center of the symbol of the diamond. And it basically opens up a sort of booby trap, an Indiana Jones type device with a different symbol, yet kind of similar too. It's like a diamond with wings, kind of. People who know Twin Peaks are very familiar with this symbol. But Cooper calls this new symbol a petroglyph, and it's interesting because it reveals itself from the wall after Andy's pickaxe removes a portion of the wall. It's hard to explain, but it's protruding on this phallus-like object from the wall. And it's interesting he calls it a petroglyph, because petroglyphs, of course, are carvings mostly left behind by Native Americans. And if you dig into the book, The Secret History of Twin Peaks, it tells us a little bit about Owl Cave. There's a section where he talks about a journal that was found in a Freemason temple in Spokane. And it says, let's talk about Owl Cave. It says, the cave referred to is now known to me as Owl Cave in the mountains east of Twin Peaks, part of what is now Ghostwood National Forest. It had long been known to native people, but as Lewis, talking about Lewis and Clark, by the way, but as Lewis never mentions it, this appears to have been the first discovery of it by settlers. Geologically, it is part of an extensive chain of lava tubes related to long dormant volcanic activity in the local mountain chain. To this day, much of it has never been explored. Why the journal ended up in a Masonic lodge as opposed to a local library or historical society is uncertain. Masons established an early presence in the region, which, as in many other places down through the centuries, led to whispers of their participation in strange ancient rituals. Perhaps they were making investigations of their own. Interestingly, the symbol most often employed by the Masons' Nemesis Lodge, the aforementioned Illuminati, is the owl. All right. And I do believe that one of the initiation ranks of the Bavarian Illuminati was Minerva, which is the owl. Now, and if you listened, man, I don't know which episode I did this on. Me and Josie went up to Snoqualmie, Washington, where they filmed it, we noticed several Freemasonic lodges on the route to get there. So, I mean, there is a heavy Masonic presence in that area. Now, interestingly, in a different part of The Secret History of Twin Peaks, I'm going to read you this. The facts of Project Sign's incident number 18 present, and Project Sign was a predecessor to Project Blue Book, right? Researching UFOs and such. They talk about this incident number 18 that Douglas Milford was present at. Anyway, says that this presents many hallmarks of classic abduction cases, which at this time had not yet been widely experienced or reported. The reference made to an owl by the girl, which unfortunately the doctor did more aggressively pursue at the time, may indicate the presence of what are now commonly referred to as masking memories. that is a memory constructed by the mind, or according to some, implanted by an external source, to supplant a real and much more disturbing encounter with something that also possesses oversized eyes. Douglas Milford, as we know, had his own experience with something in these woods 20 years earlier. The nearby presence of Owl Cave and the numerous depictions of owls in its pictographs suggest that Native Americans in the area may have had similar experiences with the phenomenon during prior millennia. And isn't that strange, right? They're saying that, and you've seen this in movies like The Fourth Kind, where a reference to an owl is actually talking about an alien, a gray alien. And what we're looking at is alien visitation when we talk about the owls, and it's, you know, it's happening in Twin Peaks. It's happening again. All right, we're wrapping up here. So Andy, he thinks he did something bad, but Cooper knows this is a higher power leading them into a place both wonderful and strange, and he says, coincidence and fate figure largely in our lives. Now, in Cooper's world, you know, because he's studying Tibetan Buddhism, I'm sure, there's an idea that you have a sort of fate, but it's not a predetermined fate. Like, it's more of a dynamic process from how I've seen it described. Some people compare it to karma. The idea that you have to pay for past sins or get rewarded for good behavior. But from what I understand, that's not really how karma works. Karma means, it actually translates as the word action. And it's a continuous process where how you act now influences how the world changes in the future for you. You know, is it future or is it past? But karma, it's not a fixed destiny you have to accept. It's more of a flow that constantly shifts and changes with your attitude and behaviors and transforms your mind and how you deal with the karma. So Cooper and Annie, they meet up at the Great Northern. They're at the bar. She catches him looking at her wrist scars, and she's like, I don't want to talk about this yet. He offers the help if she wants it. They bond because people think they're strange. Whatever. Finally, Wyndham Earle, after, you know, everyone's gone from the cave, he goes to the Owl Cave to find this exposed phallus thing with the petroglyph on the end, with the diamond with the wings kind of thing. And he looks over at the cave and spots a petroglyph of that same symbol, but it's 180 degrees inverted. He even says it out loud. He says, the symbol inverted. So he rotates the phallus object 180 degrees and initiates a chain reaction of the cave crumbling. And that's where the episode ends, right? What's going to happen? What did he just trigger? What sequence did he trigger? And why was he trying to do that? And it's interesting, we're seeing that inversion idea. It's familiar in Gnosticism, or more specifically, the satanic inversion of the Black Lodge as opposed to the White Lodge. It's polar opposite. And what's even more interesting, I went into the Secret History of Twin Peaks book and did a search, and there's no mention of White Lodge or Black Lodge. The only lodges referred to are the Freemason Lodges, Thelemic Lodges, yes, that's right, Aleister Crowley's Thelema, and the Blue Pine Lodge, which is, of course, where Laura Palmer's body was found. So, at least on the banks on the shore in front of the Blue Pine Lodge. All right, okay. But yeah, that's things are getting real strange, folks, and we're getting close to the end. Your homework, season 2, episode 19. I think it's called Variations and Revelations. If I'm looking at it right, we're going to learn more about the lodges. We're going to learn about Owl Cave. Things are going to heat up, and I'm very excited to get to these last few episodes with you guys. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Till next time, stay woke.